How about this? Here's what I think we should do. I'm going to hang up, and we're going to start as soon as I call you back.
Okay.
I'm going to say, I'm going to just say your name. Hey, Joseph, you know?
Okay.
And you say, actually, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just start.
Yeah. Edit this.
Yeah, it's like this kind of shit. All right, Joe. Yeah. Okay, so.
What's going on, Jorge?
So this is what we're talking about this week. Here are my topics for you. And okay. You can pick which ones you want, all right?
I was going to say, do you want to pick one, or do you want, like, okay, just go.
All right, well, I'm going to give you the ones that I came up with, and then I'm going to pick one, and you can go after that. So, worst state's power rankings.
Okay.
NBA thoughts, so just general thoughts about the NBA. Nerd movies of 2018, because lots of nerd movies right now. Specifically, you know, I mentioned to talk about X-Men going to Disney.
Yeah.
And the current state of the NFL, as you know, I'm very anti as a bitter former fan. I'm going to start with worst state power rankings.
Okay.
All right? Okay. All right. So just to explain to anybody who's listening, the way the power rankings work, just like NBA or MLB or NFL power ranking that rates teams based on how well they're doing in the context of that season or moment or era, et cetera, and then has a temperature meter for them based on who's doing the best. This is for the worst state, so who is perhaps at the bottom of the list? So who is number one worst state in the United States? It is not necessarily a historical argument, although you never really lose sight of a state's history. It is, though, supposed to be considering the moment. Where is that state right now? So while historically, say, Alabama is probably top five, you know, that's a GOAT worst state. I think that some people will be surprised that Alabama is not on my list today because they just haven't been in the news for a while. So do you have your own list? Do you want to come up with one real quick?
No, let's just kind of spitball it, because I think we already know what's number one. That's going to be Florida.
That's Florida. That's easy peasy. I say let's just start at the top. Let's just start at the top. First of all, okay, so Florida, I was looking at news for Florida, so I was getting ready for this. I was looking at what people were doing.
Yeah.
Florida just okayed using experimental drugs for executions.
Mm-hmm.
So untested shit. They're going to test it. If I read this correctly, they're going to use them and figure out how they work as they're using them.
That sounds very Florida.
That's so Florida. I have a, you know, I'm going to go like, all right, you tell me why Florida's on your list. I'm going to look up something real quick. Go ahead.
Well, Florida's the obvious choice. It's a large state, so it has the most crazy shit. It has sunshine laws, so we get to hear about every crazy thing that happens there.
Not a shade.
Exactly. And, I mean, this is kind of dark, but they've had two of the largest major shootings in the last 5 years.
I had that on my list of reasons, and it's not like, obviously Orlando or Parkland's fault, but
no. If
there's something about Florida, it's like, I mean, that's where I would have guessed.
Well, I mean, and Trayvon happened there. It's just like, you know, Florida is, it's sort of like they really adhere to this Wild West mentality, and, you know, people get shot a lot.
Yeah, look, I'm on Reddit right now. I'm an R Florida man. And I'm just going to read some of these headlines. Florida woman mistakes 37-week pregnancy for bad Chinese food. Florida man tries to kidnap 76-year-old woman from Hobby Lobby and fails. Like, how hard is it to kidnap a 76-year-old woman? Florida man superintendent pulled over for passing a school bus during bus safety campaign. Florida man...
Well, that's more reckless. Or that's not, you know... That's not the worst.
I'm just setting you up because when some of these get crazy, right? Because you got to contextualize how ridiculous Florida is or how dangerous Florida is. Because here you go. Now check out these next ones.
Yeah.
Florida man uses vacuum to decapitate man. Florida man's car spat on by passenger of landscaping truck. They got out of his car and stabbed the man to death.
Okay.
And Florida man dies after swallowing 7 grams of cocaine at traffic stop. Florida man bites chicken's head off, charge of animal cruelty. Florida woman stabs Florida man to death in a Burger King love triangle. Not at a Burger King because of a love triangle. A Burger King love triangle, and where Burger King is essential to understanding the dynamic of those three people and why one of them had to get stabbed to death there.
So wait, Burger King's not one of the things that they're in love with.
That would be amazing. I hope it's involved. I hope they fought over Burger King. I hope they met at a Burger King, fucked at a Burger King, fought over Burger King, and that the guy who played the Burger King is one of the people in it.
Well, Burger King won.
I think Burger King wins. And dude, and you mentioned it earlier about the Parkland Orlando shootings. Their solution is see-through backpacks. Like the last I heard, AR-15s don't fit in backpacks.
Nope.
Like at least do a metal detector, you know? Like come on, man.
Yeah, but even that is just like. So you've seen the black kids from the Parkland High School? Like their complaints? Like you're just making it harder for us.
Wait, who are you?
The African American students at the Parkland.
No, catch me up.
Okay, so. Maybe a week or so ago, there was a story of the black students at the high school. I can't remember the name of the high school right now. But they were talking about how this increased scrutiny that they have is just making it worse for them. Because if anyone, as we know, when more police are around, that means terrible shit for black people. So, you know, so this is sort of the situation they're in. And so, like, it's kind of funny where the white kids are complaining about these clear backpacks. The black kids are like, well, shit, we're fucked now. Because we're just going to get any disciplinary problem they have is only going to be amplified now because there's all this police presence that'll be at the school now.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't usually go well for black kids historically.
No. No.
All right. Well, all right. So who you got number two?
Maine.
Maine?
Yeah.
Maine. Maine's not on my list. Why do you hate Maine?
Yeah. Maine? Hardcore races. Like, hardcore racist, like the governor. Look at the governor of Maine. like he's like he was pre-Trump Trump. Like he was like the most openly bigoted elected governor we had pre-Trump. You know, high official. But fuck Maine. Like outside of lobster, give me another reason for Maine.
Oh, low light pollution. No, check it out. If it's dark enough, you can't tell you're in Maine, right?
Oh, it just means it sounds like more black people getting shot to me, man.
They ain't got no black people in Maine, bro.
That's true. I know.
That's right around the corner. I just never occurred to me either to put Maine on there just because I just never think about Maine. I go to Maine every once in a while. My lady's family has a lake house up there, but we don't go that much. Yeah. And I mean, Maine is pretty, but yeah, I don't have strong feelings. I'm not against it being on the list.
Unless you're a big fan of heroin and lobster.
Yeah, I do like lobster. Let's see. So we're agreed on number one, Florida. I'm writing down candidates. We'll make a list at the end. All right. So who? Here's my number two then.
Okay.
Arizona.
Oh, yeah. Man, Arizona's on my list.
Arizona, man. Yeah. I was looking this stuff up because, you know, I teach this stuff. Starting in 1998, right, when they started putting up all those border fences to keep out the undocumented during the Clinton administration, there have been 6,500 deaths at the border since 1998. And if you do the math, that's one person a day dies crossing the desert to try to get in the United States. Half of those deaths were in Arizona.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, Lucille Bluth got it right. I'd rather be dead in California than alive in Arizona.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just Sheriff Joe is enough to say fuck Arizona, but just, yeah.
There was this controversy a few years ago where a lot of the high schools were abolishing their ethnic studies programs because it said that it teaches you to hate white people. And the basic response to them, like, it doesn't teach you to hate white people. We just told them what you did. I'm paraphrasing. I don't think anyone said it exactly that way, but that's basically what it was.
I mean, yeah.
Imagine uncritically telling a whole group of people, y'all can't study yourselves because it might make us look bad.
Yeah. Like, I had this conversation with Kelly yesterday. We were talking about lacrosse. I read this really good story in Deadspin about lacrosse. I don't know if you saw it.
I haven't, but I'm super excited to hear how you're going to connect lacrosse to Arizona.
I'm not. I'm connecting it to racism. But lacrosse, its origin is Native American.
Yes, I knew that.
Yeah, it's very spiritual to Native American, and apparently up north, like north of South Dakota, they have these lacrosse leagues, and they have three teams that are mostly natives. And so the natives are complaining, or they complained about the racism they receive regularly while playing the non-native teams. So the league decided to kick them out.
Where is this? This one is North Dakota?
Yes, it's North or South Dakota. It's in that region.
Dakotas.
It's in the Dakotas. So yeah, they kicked him out. And so his reasoning was that, one, they had violated a bunch of rules, and two, they play the race card too much.
Wait.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. You know, yeah, they even said it. Yeah. They even said it. Yeah. The lack of self-reflexivity that takes, how comfortable you must be, and how the way things have always been, I suppose. Yeah. I guess when I say it that way, of course you're comfortable. It's always been this way. It's crazy.
But I'm having this conversation. Like, you know, it stuck in my brain. So I'm at my girlfriend's house last night, my white girlfriend's house, and we have this, I'm talking about it. And she's like, yeah, we really fucked everybody over. And I was like, thank you, baby.
That's some real love right there.
It is.
Let's see. You know what? And you know what? Like, that's all anybody wants. I think somebody asked me once about, like, what does everybody want? And I said, an apology, a real one, right?
Or at least an acknowledgement that it was fucked up, you know? Like,
we're not even there yet. No. It's got to be an apology. That's it. Not money, not reparations. Just a sincere cultural, you know what? My bad. That was shitty of me. And the whole country would be like, you sucked for that. And then they'll be like, yeah, I know. And be like, all right, well, we're over it. Right? Like, I really think that's all it needs. But, like, any kind of apology you get from, you know, that culture, right? And I don't want to say, like, all white people are like that. But there's
absolutely
definitely there's definitely a group that has made itself very vocal in the last few years that absolutely is like that. And anytime you do get any kind of apology, it's always, like fine. I'm sorry, you know, like when they like in the 80s when they apologized for the internment.
Yeah.
It's always kind of like through the corner of your mouth. Just a sincere, my bad. This country would be healed.
I don't know. I personally don't think we'll ever get there.
No, which is like the perfect. I've been rewatching Always Sunny, and there's an episode where they're squashing their beefs.
Yeah.
It comes down to. And it's so perfect that it just stays at Thanksgiving because it's such an American scenario where all Mac and Dennis have to do is say, I'm sorry to the McBoyles. And they will let go a laundry list of genuine grievances. And they don't do it. They find another way to deal with it. Like, that's so perfect. Like, that's it right there.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like, take down some of these Robert E. Lee statues, you know? Just take them down.
That's too
or
much.
Put them... Or put them in someone's backyard. Keep it. You can keep it. Just don't put it in the middle of the city.
Or at least don't make taxpayers have to pay for it.
Yeah, don't make me have to chip in on that. Like, come on, man. All right. So, number three on my list, Oklahoma.
It's a good choice. It's a good choice.
I'm going to give you two reasons. I'm going to skip to my number five to explain number three.
Okay.
So number five on mine is West Virginia. And I'm surprised it's on mine, but I looked up Gallup's state well-being rankings to see who the states that are the unhappiest are.
Mm-hmm.
West Virginia is number one.
Not surprising.
Unhappiest state. And I drove through there to go to Joel's wedding, and my first impression was like, West Virginia is beautiful. Like, why did people hate on West Virginia? And then all of a sudden, it's just miles and miles of strip mines. They have just torn their shit up. It's like when a dog ruins your backyard, but the whole state. Like, the whole state. Everything is just dug up, and it's just dirt piles everywhere. And it's just sad because you could tell it was definitely beautiful once. Yeah. But I also feel like maybe they fall out of my top five considering the strong cases you've made for North Dakota and Maine, because I also feel like West Virginia don't hurt nobody. You don't hear about them in the news. You don't hear about them crazy-ass shit like we're so committed to killing people, we're going to use experimental ways to do it. And I looked it up. They have 5 electoral votes. So even if they were terrible, they can't really hurt anybody.
No.
So I'm willing to knock them off number five. But that gets me number back to Oklahoma, because Oklahoma is the 5th unhappiest state. They have just approved using nitric and jasper executions, which no one's ever done before. I remind you, in 2015, that's when they executed Charles Warner, and they fucked it up, and it took 20 minutes to die. And the Here's how bad Oklahoma is. Here's how bad Oklahoma is. Because I'm about to agree with someone I never in my life would thought I'd agree with. I'm going to tell you the quote. Now this man was the Oklahoma Attorney General at the time. And he said that it was, quote, a careless, cavalier, and in some circumstances dismissive of established procedures. Right?
Yeah.
That man was Scott Pruitt, the current head of the EPA. And if Scott Pruitt thinks that you are being careless, cavalier, and dismissive of established procedures, you done fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. See,
that in the teacher strike. Good teachers.
Well, I just don't think about Oklahoma enough, you know, because it's one, it's very near us, and outside of their basketball team, I have no reason to ever think about Oklahoma, honestly.
Dude, so you've seen the movie 300, right?
Yes.
When I try to explain my relationship to Oklahoma using 300 when I meet people out here in New England, and what I tell them is, if you've seen 300, you'll remember that at the beginning of that movie, and just for the listeners, full disclosure, Joe and I are both from Texas. At the beginning of that movie, they have that pit where they throw the inferior babies, right? And we learn later that the one troll kid survived it, and he ends up betraying the whole nation, right?
Yeah.
In Texas, we have one of those pits, and we call it Oklahoma.
I am impressed at your recollection of 300.
I remembered it specifically so I could throw Oklahoma.
To shit on Oklahoma, that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I've been doing this for years now. So that's my number three.
Okay.
Another reason for Oklahoma, well, I'm shitting on Oklahoma. And two things, though. Shout out to Oklahoma City, which is not a terrible place and has great vegan food. I'm not vegan myself. I'll eat a plate of just meat, but good vegan food is still good food.
That is something I never would have assumed. They have great vegan food in Oklahoma City.
I only went to a couple spots. I was there for work. But everything I tried was really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that either. Oklahoma City, you are kind of guilty by association. If you could pick up and leave Oklahoma, you'd be better for it. But the other reason is that there are two great pieces of art associated with the state of Oklahoma. One of them is to play Oklahoma, whatever. I'm not into it. The second one is the Steinbeck novel.
Okay.
And the one about the Dust Bowl and moving to California, Grapes of Wrath.
Yeah.
So the premise of the greatest contribution to art that Oklahoma has given us is, we got to get the fuck out of Oklahoma.
It's beautiful.
Which reminds me, Florida, why it's number one. What's the thing everybody knows about Florida? You go to anywhere in the world and they know one thing about Florida in terms of tourist attractions. What is it?
Florida? I don't know. What is it?
Disney World.
Oh, yeah. Disney
World. The greatest thing about Florida is a multi-billion-dollar complex that lets you pretend you're literally anywhere else in the world. That's the best thing they got going for them.
Yeah.
That and good Cuban food.
And Miami.
And Miami. Miami's got the OKC problem. Like, hey, I'm sorry about you. Yeah. You know?
Miami's awesome.
It's kind of the way I feel about Fort Worth. Like, I'd be down with you, Fort Worth, but you're too close to Dallas.
Oh, Dallas. Best thing to come out of Oklahoma is the James Harden trade, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Thank you, Oklahoma.
Thank you, Oklahoma. Thank you, Sam Presti. That's crazy, dude. Sam Presti drafted three MVPs and kept the worst one.
Yeah. Yeah. He sure did.
And I say that as if I'm making fun of Presti, but then I would love to have that problem.
No, yeah. He's still got Adams. Like, he's a good guy at evaluating draft talent. Like, he's good at it. He's not a good trader.
No. He's more of a drafter.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was going to say the trade for Paul George was pretty great. But
at the time, but now I don't think Indiana's unlike they're very happy with that trade.
All right. We're gonna talk about trade wins in the next section. I want to finish this. All right. So here I got. Cool. Here's what I got so far. Okay. Florida, one. I'm going to put, what do you think? Arizona, two?
Arizona, two is good.
Three. The other options are Maine, North Dakota, Oklahoma, West Virginia. I have Mississippi on mine, but really that's sort of a legacy position. That's like the LeBron's always going to be third in MVP voting. Mississippi's always going to be like fourth in worst state rankings. It's just the default position for them. It's like the Mississippi slot, right? But I'm willing to knock them off because I don't really have anything to say about Mississippi right now.
Well, I would be very okay with a Mississippi-Alabama tie for five. Those are legacy spots. They earned them.
How about this? Dishonorable mentions.
Yes, okay.
Dishonorable mentions, Mississippi, who did not abolish slavery until 2013. And here's what they'll tell you in Mississippi is, actually, we did it in 1995. And then I'm like, that's still shitty. That's not any better. But secondly, the reason we think of it as being 2013 is that they literally never filed the paperwork.
Mm.
So it wasn't technically ratified till someone noticed the quote-unquote oversight. And I'm like, okay, so you ratified an amendment to the U.S. Constitution and forgot to file it? Forgot to file it? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Future planning on some people's part.
And it's crazy. What's crazy is the reason that somebody noticed is because they saw the movie Lincoln and was remember like 20 years later and was like, hey, did we ever do that? And went back and checked, and no, they didn't. Which is hilarious that the state that still technically allowed slavery was defeated by a movie about slaves with no slaves in it.
Ugh. Well, you know what? I think that earns Mississippi a spot in the top five. I think you just talked him back into the top five.
All right, Mississippi is number five then, and Alabama can have the dishonorable mention. Florida, Arizona.
Dishonorable mention, yeah.
I'm going to slide Maine at four.
Okay.
Oklahoma, three.
Okay.
We got Florida, Arizona, Oklahoma, Maine, Mississippi, dishonorable mention, Alabama. That is our current worst state power rankings. We'll revisit this, you know, the next time Florida does something.
Yeah, because there's at least 45 other states we're leaving out.
Yeah, well, you know, on some level, you got to remember that those states kind of function like our ugly friend.
Yeah.
You know, makes us look better.
Yeah. Also like how we're alienating five states at the beginning of our podcast. Peanut butter insets.
Outside. Cocaine white, but he looks like Gentiles. Gentiles. Emotional. I got a couple of topics within this topic.
Okay. I had a question I wanted to ask you within this topic.
All right. Shoot.
Okay. Outside of the Rockets, the Warriors, and the Cavs, who are the two most interesting teams in the playoffs?
That is a good question. All right. Interesting. I'm going to assume interesting doesn't mean like capable of victory. It's just I'm curious what's going to happen.
Exactly.
All right. Toronto Raptors, because I think I'm just really scared that's going to be a train wreck.
Yeah.
I'm really scared that's going to be a train wreck. A lot of this for me, I don't know, you see those Heat games? Like, LeBron, it just crushes them. I said this on Twitter. He's playing basketball, and the Raptors are playing checkers. Like, it's just backs everybody down. I don't know who they can throw at him. I don't know who on that team can guard him. Serge Ibaka? No.
No.
Siakam? Maybe. But Siakam can't shoot, so they're just going to play 5-on-4. Right? That means LeBron can play center field and just crush everything in the lane. So you can't really have Siakam on the floor. I don't think he can play in that series, to be honest. Who else is out there? Kyle Lowry? He gets the butterflies hard.
He's arguably their best defender, but like over the starting unit, but he can't.
No, he's their best defender, and when your point guard is your best defender, like that's not to suggest the rest of them are bad defenders. They're fine, but Kyle Lowry is, I think, the only shutdown guy they have, and I mean, there's not a lot of point guard talent they're going to be facing.
No. Not with Kyrie out.
Yeah, unless he gets to play, the Heat? But I'm not particularly intrigued by Kyle Lowry versus Goran Dragic, like the ex-Rockets. Although I own both their jerseys, so maybe I shouldn't talk shit. So you said three teams I'm interested in? Minnesota, if Butler comes back.
I said two, but let's do three.
Minnesota, if Butler comes back.
I think Butler's playing tonight. Last I saw, he was hinting at it.
He better be, because I grabbed him for my fantasy final because I'm getting my ass whooped because the Mavs and the Grizz are tanking and they're ruining me. I'm gonna have to put Tennessee on my list just because of Memphis. So Minnesota, I'd like to see it because for some context, I did the math out. I looked at everybody's schedules to sort of predict what the playoff matchups are going to be in the West, because right now, as you know, it's just crazy.
It's
town.
A game, it's crazy right now.
Yeah, there's a game separating fourth from ninth or something crazy. Yeah. So I have I looked up all their schedules and I picked who I think is going to be the matchups 1 through 8. based on the schedules. Some schedules are harder than others, with a couple of exceptions. I mostly went 500 just because the schedules are that hard to deal with.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of asterisks here, but I have, based on their schedules, I have Utah at 4 with 48 wins. Okay. I have Oklahoma, San Antonio, and Oklahoma City, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, and Minnesota. I have them all with, no, not Minnesota. Hold on, what am I making a mistake? Oklahoma City, San Antonio, I have them each with 47.
Okay.
And San Antonio holds the tiebreaker, which would make them 4. And Minnesota, yeah, I have Minnesota 47 wins.
San Antonio would be 5.
San Antonio would be 5. Yeah, okay. So in the 4-5 match would be Utah. 5 would be San Antonio. 6 would be Minnesota because of the tiebreaker. 7 would be Oklahoma City because they hold no tiebreakers.
Mm-hmm.
And number 8, it comes down to New Orleans or Denver. I got them ending each with 46 wins, and Denver has the tiebreaker.
Wow, so you got Denver in.
Yeah, I don't think New Orleans is going to make it, and I don't really want to see New Orleans. I think we've seen that show, and I stand for Anthony Davis hard.
I just feel bad. I would feel bad for that fan base, man. They came so close.
Yeah. And I love Boogie. I was really cheering for him. I don't want to see the Broken Pals. I don't want to see it. And particularly, I don't want to see Anthony Davis just go out there and be crushed by Houston. And I think Houston versus Denver would be fun because it's just like warming up the guns, right?
We would sweep it.
Yeah, probably. But we probably beat the Pelicans. But I just don't see it sustaining, and I'm a little tired of all this Anthony Davis' MVP talk. So this will end that.
Well, that's over, I think. I think it's Harden. I think Harden has it. Unless LeBron gets enough of the votes, I think LeBron's going to get a lot of votes. Like, LeBron might steal it, but I think it's Harden's right now.
I would be shocked if that happened. I'm also tired of listening to podcasts about who's the third best player. I'm like, I'm good. We don't need to know.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. But with that being said, the answer is Anthony Davis. And I love Anthony Davis. I always have. He's my favorite non-Rocket, followed closely by Kyrie Irving. And then Donovan Mitchell is just shooting up my power rankings.
Oh, really?
I love that kid. He's just super fun to watch. He's my rookie of the year. So, yeah, and there's one caveat here. Minnesota and Denver in the next 4 games play each other twice.
Mm.
So I assume the split, but if one team sweeps the other one I think is out.
If Butler comes back and is 75%, I think the Nuggets are done.
Here's what, I agree. There's an interesting scenario where I want the Clippers to not be eliminated until the last night because they play the Lakers on the last night, and I would love for the Lakers to break the Clippers' hearts. Because I am rapidly anti-Clippers.
Yeah.
I don't know why we have 2 teams in one city. The Clippers need to move to Seattle. There's no history there. There are no Clippers fans, except for Andrew Hahn over at ESPN.
They've built a counterculture sort of fan base. Like, they have, LA's big enough where you have people who are like, fuck the Lakers, I'm going to root for the Clippers. They have a base. They just haven't done much to earn a fan base.
You can keep your irony out of my NBA. I only want people who are here to genuinely like basketball, not to dislike something else, be a proxy. Like, hard pass.
Fair enough.
So Minnesota, my teams, and who intrigues me? I would have said Boston if Kyrie were back, but now he's done for the season, so not Boston. I'll tell you what I want. What I want is Heat versus Boston because I like the Heat, and I just like them historically. And I really want to see Milwaukee versus Cleveland. That means Milwaukee's got to get to 6th, which probably won't happen. They're in 8th, and I think a game back, so the chances they get to 6th seed are low. But I would love to see Giannis versus LeBron because I think that's the only way to make any Milwaukee series interesting because that team just isn't fun to watch. They're kind of a mess.
They're not.
I don't really understand why they don't work. They feel like they should make more sense, but they don't. They just don't. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's
I think coaching is their biggest issue. They have a coaching change. I can't even tell you the name of the guy currently coaching them.
Oh, well, yeah, because Kidd lost.
Kidd got fired. Promoted. But Kidd, I think coaching is their biggest issue because there's talent on that roster.
And
today's NBA, everybody eats. Like, that's not really much of an issue like it used to be.
Well, these days, well, come 2 weeks from now, the Bucks are going to be food. They ain't doing any eating.
Yeah, they're getting eaten, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you have one of the 10 best players on your team, and I think Giannis is there, he's one of the 10 best players in the NBA, you should be, especially in the East, you should be fucking in the top five.
I don't know what, I honestly sometimes don't know what to make about Giannis, because sometimes he makes, especially on defense, his rotations are terrible, but he's so just tall, and he has those huge strides that it doesn't matter. He's just going to recover anyway.
Athletic as fuck.
Yeah, he's weirdly a terrible defender, and yet so athletic that he's a fantastic defender.
Yeah.
So let's see. So I got Houston, Denver, Golden State, Oklahoma City, which I super want.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Golden State beats them even without Steph, but Russ versus KD and Russ trying to play spoiler, I think would bring out Vegeta Russ, which is the best Russ. As long as he's not playing your team, that's the best Russ.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't pick the Sixers.
The Sixers, yeah, of course, yeah. I'm surprised I didn't pick them either. I guess I have a weird relationship with the Sixers because I love watching them.
Yeah.
Simmons is great, Embiid is great, Dario Saric is, I think, a hidden underappreciated player.
Yeah,
Roko's fun when he's hitting. He's so streaky. I had him on my fantasy team for a while. I'm like, dude, like, you're just too unreliable in big chunks, right? But when he's fire, he's fire. And he's young. He's figuring it out.
Yeah.
But I guess that also gets me to why I don't trust them, is that they're rookies, and historically they just don't do well in the playoffs. Like, a lot of people are having these Sixers are going to make the East Finals takes, and I'm like,
I don't
like,
believe that at all.
I don't either. Like, they're going to beat LeBron. I mean, because they're the third seed, which means they got to beat... Which means first they got to beat Indiana, which maybe they could probably beat Indiana, but Indiana I think is a fighter. Like, that won't be an easy series.
Yeah.
Then they got to go through Toronto probably. Yeah, they're not going to get us in the first round, so they'll definitely have to play Toronto.
Yeah.
And I don't know that, because I don't know that they have the bench to hang with Toronto.
They're not ready for Toronto. Very fun series, but I don't think they can beat them.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not gonna pick Indiana, but I'm not comfortable picking Indiana because there's so many rookies. When your veteran leadership is JJ Redick, and no offense to JJ Redick, you know I'm a fan. Like, that's not enough.
No.
So I guess I'm not that intrigued by them. But in their future, they look like they're a future. They're going to be a future dynasty. Like, I really want them to trade for Kawhi.
No, they're LeBron signing there.
I don't think so. LeBron hates youngsters. After, like, he doesn't Embiid, to him, Embiid and Simmons are just two Kyries waiting to betray him.
Man, it's not far from Cleveland, so he does, or Akron rather, so he doesn't have to move his family. He has a house everywhere. He has a house in Miami. He has a house in LA. But you know, where do his kids go to school? I bet they go to school in Akron.
Well, probably. I mean, I believe that, but
yeah.
I guess I don't. There's a lot of LeBron is like, you know, is going to be has a home a house in LA, or he can live near Philly, and he can be near New York because he wants to build some media empire. And I'm like, LeBron can just do that. Like,
you
I don't
do
think.
Whatever.
Yeah, I don't think I don't buy that. But, I guess I don't think he really would do that.
But
he
also did, think he would I think position because he, himself to win titles, not maybe not next year, but at the end of his career. Where he's just tacking him on because he's with the best team. I think he would totally be savvy enough to do that.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think he's very aware of his legacy, and he wants to win now. He wants to be clearly the best guy on the team. He doesn't want to be...
Well, he will be. He's always... Until the decline happens, whenever that's going to happen, he will always be the best guy on the team.
Yeah, but if we're talking about... You'll win with Embiid and Simmons eventually.
His ultimate goal is to play with his son.
Yeah.
He wants to play to play with his son.
Wait, now, do you want to think he wants to be on the same team as his son, or do you think he wants to play
against
his son?
No, wants to be on the same team.
Oh, because in my dream scenario, Lon Jr. just dunks on his dad so hard that his dad has to retire. That's how I want it to
end.
That's how I want LeBron to end.
If he LeBron blocks him.
What?
He chased down. He does the LeBron block on LeBron. He does the chase down.
Father to son or son to father?
Son to father. Like, he...
That would be amazing. Same game. Yeah. Same game. Chase down block and then dunk in his face. Yeah. This time he can be Nurkic.
Granddaddy LeBron.
Yeah. No hair left.
Well.
All right. Anything else about the NBA?
No. I mean, really, it's going to... the thing I'm most excited to see or and nervous to see is how the Rockets perform. I'm a Rockets fan. They're the heavy favorites going in, but I still think the Warriors are better even without Steph. And I kind of worry that the Rockets had – did they face any adversity really this year?
Injury adversity?
Yeah, but they're so deep they were able to overcome that. Really, the only downtime was when we had, like, when the Rockets had that, like, four-game losing streak, and it looked like, oh, they're kind of unraveling, was really with that bad loss to Boston, and then we started losing some games in a row. But other than that, that was injury times, too, but it's been all cake since then, and that scares me.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. Harden and Paul have definitely been through adversity.
Yes, before.
As a squad, they haven't, and a squad.
I'm not worried about Chris Paul. Chris Paul always brings it. I'm kind of worried about those James Harden playoff performances we've gotten, where it's like, is James on tonight or not? Because it seems like that happens more in the playoffs than anywhere, where it's just like, all right, everybody else is winning this game. That's what I'm afraid of. How many of those games are James going to give us in the playoffs?
I think he's got a little bit of Kyle Lowry in him, where particular players or teams. Get in his head. I think really it's Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs. Perhaps it's really Greg Popovich. It's just
which is crazy because he used to torch the Spurs, like just destroy them. He's the reason Oklahoma City beat him to go to the finals that year. James Harden is I love him, but I'm still worried. I'm still worried about playoff Harden. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Me too. I disagree though with the idea that they are better with. That's still better than us without Steph Curry, because I see Steph Curry is the engine. I'm still one of those people who thinks that team is better without Kevin Durant on it, in terms of just how amazing they are, because you get more Steph when you don't have Kevin Durant. That sounds ridiculous. I'm not saying they should, like, they obviously won a championship with him. They're obviously great with Kevin Durant. That's a great problem to have, you know? How do I balance my two
Kevin
MVPs?
Durant's just so good. Like, he's so good. Like, he doesn't have to. Everybody around on that team is good. Like, even without Steph, and Klay's been very up and down this year, I think when that intensity is up, you're going to get the best version of Draymond. And they can still do more offensive than the Rockets do. I'm not saying the Rockets can't do more, but this year, it's ISO, ISO, pick and roll, ISO, 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 pick and roll. Like, they're playing basketball like Peyton Manning played football, whereas in 5 plays in 10. That's been their offensive philosophy. And it's really like, I'm sure the math is always on their side. Like, but against the Warriors in the playoff series, like, if the Warriors need to get 5 stops, I still think they can get 5 stops. The difference is the Rockets this year can get 5 stops.
That Peyton Manning comparison is perfect, too, because just like Peyton Manning, if things aren't going according to the plan, he gets flustered, and he doesn't know what to do, and he kind of shuts down a little.
So I'm worried. Yeah. I'm worried about the second round. I really, like, I don't think we'd play Portland. Like, we wouldn't play Portland, but I really don't want to play Portland in the playoffs.
Portland, I'm not afraid of Portland.
They can run and gun, and Lillard, I still remember that shot.
Yeah, that shot. Luck shot.
Ended our season, though.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to relitigate that, because there was this whole ref bullshit that happened that game, too. That is not Dame's fault.
Dame
is great. Not fading Dame.
Fucking shot to end our season. Like, power to him.
He's got a very convincing... He's like Karaoke Curry. He's like a really good karaoke version of Steph Curry. And I mean that as a compliment, because I love karaoke. But here's the thing. Here's my hot take. I think that if my seedings are correct, and if we see a 75% Jimmy Butler, I think Minnesota beats them.
I do.
I think that weird play by guys 44 minutes a game, Thibodeau philosophy, this is the one situation where it'll help them, because I don't know that I trust Portland's bench, and we're never going to see Minnesota's bench. And I don't know. I think Jeff Teague is a decent enough defender to hang with old boy. And I don't know about Nurkic trying to come out on Karl Anthony Towns.
Man. But see, what
could Thibodeau fuck it up by refusing to even change strategies and pick on the weaknesses of the Trailblazers? He totally might. Like, if Minnesota ends up getting swept because they just don't get their fucking shit together, I won't be shocked. But I think Minnesota should beat Portland, and I don't think that a team that can be beaten by Minnesota is a threat to the Rockets.
Bad young nigga do the most, And I what kind of flex, and you know what time it is, but don't know what grinding is. Baby, I care. Baby, I swear. Only one real nigga here.
It's a deep draft,
it really
though,
is.
Too.
But that pick, that pick still could be number one. Like, it's not inconceivable. It could be top three for sure.
You know what's funny? So that pick was generated by, back in the day, trading Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett to Brooklyn, right? When that Russian dude wanted to build his own version of the Celtics Big Three and didn't realize they were washed. LeBron killed that team.
Yeah.
And LeBron now holds the draft pick that was created from the murder.
So it's almost like he killed Paul Pierce twice.
Yeah. Yeah. And then a third time when he ruined his retirement.
My that favorite thing about that day was just how Twitter trashed Paul Pierce. Like, it was just trash Paul Pierce. They dragged him all day. It was beautiful.
And you know what? I like Paul Pierce. I'm a Paul Pierce fan. Probably my favorite Celtic. Not the greatest Celtic, but probably my favorite Celtic. And with that being said, that was an amazing takedown. That was the best. That was the best. He was a good sport about it, though. He was a good sport about it.
He was. I mean, you kind of have to be at that point.
I don't think you can be friends with Amin Al-Hassan and not generally be a good sport about things.
That's true.
Yeah. And he's got a ring, right? Paul Pierce, Hall of Famer?
Yeah. He's got a... Oh, absolutely. First ballot. He should be first ballot. Like, that guy... I mean, you can make a case he's one of the... Not one of 50, but he's one of the, 75 greatest players to ever play.
Dude, that sounds condescending, but that's amazing. That's awesome.
No, that's amazing. Yeah.
That's awesome. It's like when when people scorn being on All-NBA third team. Like, oh, so you're the top 15 player? You're the 15th best player in the most athletic league in the world? That's pretty fucking kick-ass. Like, I would love to be the 15th best in the world at anything. I would love to be the 15th best in the world at anything. If I was the 15th best at something in the world, everybody would know.
Yeah. Yeah, and my favorite thing about the NBA, I think, like, the total number of guys who've played in it is still under 5,000.
Dwight Howard, first ballot.
Oh, easy.
He's got to be, right? He's the only player other than Wilt Chamberlain to have averaged a double-double, I think, every season of his career. Yeah. Something crazy like that. He's averaged a double-double like 15 times.
Dwight's first 10 years were otherworldly. Like, Dwight had a great career. He led a team to the finals. He won an MVP. Like, Derrick Rose is probably the only MVP, or Derrick Rose will be the only MVP to not make the Hall of Fame.
Derrick Rose ruined my previous stipulation. And I don't know. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe he does belong to the Hall of Fame, and I'll tell you why.
Because of his college career?
No, because I think every MVP deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Because if you're the MVP, that means that for 1 year, you were the best basketball player in the world. I think if you hold that down for a whole season, that's enough. It's enough to be in the Hall of Fame to write your name and put your picture on a wall. Because we've been. When you actually look, it's not like this chapel. It's a tourist attraction, and ultimately what it is your face in a framed photo on a wall with a plaque. It's actually not that impressive, although it's fun. Like, you remember when we went. And I don't know. When I saw it, I was like, this isn't the sort of, like, Gregorian chant I was expecting in my mind what I was going to see, right? It was just sort of like, oh, this is nice. They wrote your name down because you were good at basketball. And I think if you were the best in the league for a whole season and everyone agreed that you were the best, even though it's sketch because, like, it's one of those, we're tired of giving it to LeBron seasons, you still have to build a case legitimate enough to allow us to pretend that LeBron isn't the MVP. Right? With Steve Nash, you could argue that Kobe was really the best player, but you still have to build a counter-argument that's strong enough for us to be able to indulge in that level of denial. So I think Derrick Rose belongs in the Hall of Fame mostly because I think the MVP should always make it, but I'm also won't be disappointed when he doesn't because he doesn't. It's, I guess, the Hall of Fame should probably be more a career thing than awesome for a little while thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The idea that there's somebody won MVP and won't be a Hall of Famer is really weird to me.
I think he'll probably still sneak in because, I mean, he did have a Final Four in college and incorporates all of that. So Final Four and MVP feels like it should be enough.
Yeah, but it also feels like it won't be, right? Like, you don't think he's going to get in.
I don't. I know. Yeah. He might. I think he'll be like Rudy T. He'll wait 25 years, but Rudy T still ain't got in, but he'll get in eventually, you know?
Right. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I want him to. I feel like he should, but not because of anything he did, but because of just what the MVP means.
People still cape for Derrick Rose, man.
They do. They do. That's a surprising thing to not go away.
Oh, he's got some stands.
Yeah, he does. And bless them for their commitment.
Yeah. They held up better than his knees. Hold on. Peanut butter insets. Hold on.
Outside. Cocaine white, but he looks like Gentiles. One last topic and then emotional. Alright, so movie takes. I got, you know, lots of movies come out recently, lots of nerd stuff. Doesn't have to be limited to nerd stuff. It could be indie nerd stuff, Oscar winners or Isle of Dogs or something like that. We probably don't want to revisit Black Panther because everybody's talked about Black Panther. There's probably nothing left to be said about Black Panther. Yeah. Other than I have one quick thing to say about Black Panther, which is more of a complaint about superhero movies generally, because Deadpool, Wonder Woman, and the Wolverine all have the exact same problem, is that they set out to tell a superhero story that's not like other superhero stories, right? This one has a woman. This one is meta. This one is a Yakuza film. This one is an anti-colonial metaphor. So that they sort of, in their very premise, there's the implication that this isn't like anything you're used to seeing. And for two acts, it's true. And then it succumbs into the most tired superhero trope of all time, which is two dudes fighting on a precipice. I guess one of them is a woman in Wonder Woman, but two people fighting on something precarious, and we're going to punch ourselves into somebody tricking the other one into falling off or landing on a spike or something like that. And I'm just overseeing movies end that way. If Infinity War ends with Thanos fighting Iron Man holding one of the stones and they're standing on something shaky, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to be done. I can't have that ending anymore.
Well, the rumor I've heard is a lot of people think they're going to end it with the snap.
I hope so. That would be amazing.
On a cliffhanger. That would be a great ending. But I don't know if Marvel has the balls to do that.
Which gets me to the thing I really want to talk about. Why X-Men to Disney is a fucking terrible idea.
It is.
It's a terrible idea. Everybody here is so excited because someone will get the Phoenix Saga right. First of all, and this is going to be a take, and you know I'm an X-Men stan like no other.
Yeah.
Phoenix Saga, slightly overrated, only because it's very much an artifact of its moment. I don't think it's adaptable because it's just too intertwined with 70s and 80s superhero storytelling. People, I think, also really only remember like two or three moments from that story and are super about it. And those two or three moments are Wolverine versus the Hellfire Club, the creation of Dark Phoenix. Actually, the Hellfire Club is also part of Dark Phoenix. And then, of course, the battle with the Shi'ar on the moon, which is actually the Dark Phoenix saga. So the one thing people like is actually Dark Phoenix, because when you get to Phoenix, you remember you got to deal with Lilandra and the Emkron crystal and all that shit. It's just kind of, by our standards, kind of dumb. In the moment, it was kind of weird and different, a sort of space fantasy, kind of Star Wars of Mutants type vibe to it. And that's cool. I just don't think that translates to today. So I don't think there's any good Phoenix movie to be made. I think it's unadaptable, kind of like Watchmen. It's unadaptable. That's how I feel about the Phoenix Saga. So people are excited about getting to see them in their colorful costumes, interacting with the other characters and shit like that. So I hate that because anytime the Avengers show up, the X-Men got to take a back seat.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that. I think Fox actually has done a good job with the property, and I'll talk about why specifically, but I actually think the best two superhero movies are Logan and Days of Future Past. One of those you might agree with. The other one you definitely don't. Nobody does. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. But
yeah, fuck Logan.
But here's A. Well played. So I think, well, so Logan's awesome. Okay, all right, so Disney, I don't want handling a civil rights metaphor. And specifically, when I knew I did not want them handling it was when I saw Hidden Figures. Did you see Hidden Figures, the NASA women movie?
I did not.
It's not very good. The women who are the actresses are amazing. They do great. But their vision of what the civil rights movement is just so Disney-fied. It's so Disney-fied and safe and sanitary that it's just mind-bogglingly lame. Because civil rights in that movie, and I know you didn't see it, the big sort of effects that racism has on these women in the 60s is that the white guys that work are mean to me, and I have to go across the street to use the bathroom, which is ultimately what racism is limited to, is a series of irritations and inconveniences, when it was obviously so much worse. There are people trying to register voters that are getting killed and buried in the woods, and those were white kids, happening at the same time as this movie, and none of that stuff is touched upon. And you have Kevin Costner, nice white man, and they actually invented him for the movie. He did not exist historically, right? So I don't need to see an ex...
Well, you can't tell a story without a white hero.
Well, apparently that Disney can't, which is my point. So what we're going to get is an X-Men metaphor where racism is just like people being mean to you about your hair. You know, something just... Something that is just these sort of microaggressive platitudes that have no interest in structural racism, right? Yeah. Which is what the X-Men has always been about. The X-Men are the best movies because their enemy is racism, and you don't win in an X-Men movie, you survive, right? You survive. That's victory. It's just not dying, right? Logan, they win because they don't die. Days of Future Past, they win because they don't die. X2, they win because they don't die. X3, which is terrible, same plot though. They live because they don't. They win because they don't die. They don't have to kill anyone. They just have to survive, right? So in terms of narrative storytelling, there's so many ways you can take it. There's so many different kinds of stories because you're not usually fighting one dude. Right. In fact, the terrible X-Men movies are when they are, right? Nobody likes X-Men Apocalypse because it's just not an X-Men movie. It's just this boring gray adventure.
Yeah.
Gray accidental pun because of Gene and because of Singer's terrible color palette. And another reason is, for example, do you really want to see a PG-13 Deadpool movie? No. No, that's going to be trash. That is going to be trash. The X-Men are just going to be the sort of feel-goody, respectability politics. They're going to remember only the pieces of the civil rights that they like. Like, it's not going to be challenging at all. At best, and Black Panther gave me some hope because they actually used the word colonialist, and I was like, whoa, I can't believe they did that. But all that shit was context, right? It wasn't content, right? Think about Logan. It's basically an undocumented film where the villain is America, and America is the land you need to escape, right? No longer the land of hope. It's the land of terror. Just the ballsiness of that premise. Disney doesn't have that kind of fire in them. The closest we got was Winter Soldier, because in that one, the solution was we got to burn down the government. And then they do it, which was pretty amazing, which is why Winter Soldier is like my favorite one of my favorites. It's up there. They actually have burned down the government. Yeah. Like we got to tear down the institution. And sometimes I wonder if Disney didn't realize that's what they were saying. And that's why they made Civil War so neutered from when you think about how it was translated from the original comic. So I don't want them anywhere near the X-Men. I think they're just going to turn them into the you know what they're going to do? They're going to turn it into the 90s cartoon, which is what everybody wants, but nobody needs.
I think it's going to be closer to what they've done with Star Wars. Well, yeah, actually, that kind of goes in with that. So I think, yes, it'll be a lot like the cartoon, in like they're really going to hammer down on nostalgia bits.
Yeah, well.
You know, like they're really going to, because what did you think of the last Star Wars movie? Like, I don't want to go on a whole Star Wars thing, but did you like it?
I'm not a Star Wars stan.
Yeah, I know.
I watch them because everybody's going, and I want to see them. My hot take is that Rogue One is the best Star Wars film, but a part of that is that I have no particular allegiances to the original trilogy, although I do enjoy them.
Yeah.
How did I feel about it? I thought it was fun. I'm not the kind of person who picks out plot inconsistencies, because I think that's a pedantic way to feel smart.
Yeah.
But there was one glaring one, which is... that Benicio del Toro's character sells out the rebellion, and that's how they find out, and then tons of people die, right? That they're trying to hide on that moon.
Yeah, but he has no way of knowing. Yeah.
Well, there's only one way he could have known, is that John Boyega told them. Finn must have told him the secret plan. He must have told the secret plan. So the thief you met in prison and have known half an hour? You told them the most precious, vital piece of information that you've ever had in your life. Granted, Finn has basically been alive like a year because he was like brainwashed. So maybe he's like born yesterday, I guess. But so when he acts betrayed, like, how could you? Like, what in the world? He basically told you he was going to sell you out. Yeah. Like, I don't understand.
When did Finn learn the secret plan? Because Poe barely found out. Like,
makes no sense.
Problems with the movie. But my bigger thing about that movie, I did not like it the first time I saw it, and I just recently rewatched it, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. I think its biggest problem it was overstuffed. It was way too long. Like, that movie, they really needed to cut about 45 minutes out of it.
Yeah, it's got classic middle movie problems.
Yes. But what I think they're going to do with the X-Men is I don't think they're going to do a full reboot. I think they're going to try to salvage what they currently have with the new younger cast. And then it'll be the nostalgia. Like, then it'll be homages to the old show and things like that. And then, like, because this new, they're just going to make it really quippy, which is what they did with the new Star Wars movie. I don't think I've ever seen a Star Wars movie with that many sort of Josh Whedon-esque jokes.
Yeah, they're just copying the MCU style. Which gets me to my next point about why it's a terrible idea. Disney, really, it's actually kind of weirdly Marvel. Marvel is homogenizing Disney. Like, those Star Wars movies are totally Marvel-fied. Especially,
Marvel movies, yeah.
Especially Last Jedi. There was some, and like, you know, if you're going to have quips, you know, like, read them out loud. There was one quip where John Boyega calls the silver stormtrooper Chrome Dome before he kills her.
Yeah.
And what? That is a Saturday morning cartoon joke, right?
Yes.
That's something Michelangelo calls Shredder, right? That's not,
yeah.
That's not clever, dude. The whole point is that Michelangelo's a dum-dum. Like, you're not supposed to like that joke, right? You're supposed to laugh at him for making jokes like that, right? I don't know. And I don't know if that's what we're doing with Finn. Like, Finn is sort of like, they're really relying a lot on Boyega's charm.
I mean, he really likes Rey and he runs away.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I know about him.
And
I'm disappointed that, like, I like that they worked in the an Asian character, because, like, diversity is always awesome. Like, I love that Gabriel Luna spoke with an accent in Rogue One. Part of the reason I love it so much. I love that they gave him sort of a cool young love interest, but I saw Force Awakens, right? Poe and Finn want to fuck real hard, and I don't know, and Disney won't let them. Disney won't let them, and I want it. I wanted them to be gay, because it just makes perfect sense. They had such good chemistry, and he's wearing the dude's jacket, and he's all worried about him. Like, come on, man. Give me some trench love between those two.
Boyega had great chemistry with Poe and Rey, and they decided to remove him from them for an entire movie.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's also
a Star Wars thing, right?
Separate people. Yes, exactly. Characters you want.
Separate characters.
But you keep the people with good chemistry together, like... In Empire, they, like, Luke went away because Luke had the least amount of chemistry of the three. They kept the two with the chemistry together.
That's true. That's a good point. But, okay, so back to your original point about all the quippiness, is this homogenizing effect happening because of MCU, and the movies are going to just get more and more similar. I mean, they hire all these indie directors, but it's actually weirdly just like Marvel in the 80s, where they had the in-house style, where they'd get all these artists, but you have to draw like this because we want all our things to look kind of the same, which I get. Like, as in terms of a branding, you want to have sort of like culture, right? Kevin Feige ultimately is the true director of all this stuff. It's more of a TV show than it is, right? It's a TV show you watch 2 hours at a time, twice a year, right? So that's fine, but it's spreading, right? It's spreading. Hidden Figures is quippy, like a Marvel movie is quippy, right? It's spread over. And the X-Men, why I still think the X-Men is the best superhero franchise in the movies is or just on film of any sort, is because they take chances. Like, sometimes those blow up in their face and it's just meme-worthy, terrible, like Deadpool and the Wolverine, what is it called? Weapon. What are the first Wolverine? Origins, which is god-awful. Obviously, which is terrible. But look at Legion. Right, it's the most interesting superhero TV show by far. The second best one would be Jessica Jones, which is great, but it's a distant second to how interesting Legion is, right? And unique, right? Logan, like this dark western with this heavy political commentary that's very, if you really look at it, I got an article coming out later this year on it. It's incredibly subversive when you think about the narrative it's telling, like it's and how it applies to previous literary traditions, right? It's bold, right? X-Men Days of Future Past, I know it's not most people's favorite, but it's telling a weird story with this mind transfer thing, right? Deadpool being this weird meta thing. The New Mutants movie is coming out. It's going to be a horror story. And then you had their own version of Stranger Things, which is Apocalypse, which is not good. But they take chances. They do odd things that other people don't do. Like, I don't think there's anything Marvel has put out that's as good or consistently interesting on the rewatch as Legion or Logan. Now, the low points in the X-Men franchise, admittedly, are much lower than the MCU. The MCU's floor is pretty high and sturdy, while the X-Men is like cheesecloth. Like, it's just always falling through the ground. But the heights the X-Men reach are so much higher than Marvel's willing to try because they're just making safe product. And in terms of just pushing the genre of the superhero, only the X-Men are doing it. These Warner Brothers doesn't know what they're doing. Like, they're just running around with their dicks out. They have no idea what the fuck is going on over there. Marvel has found this safe little middle ground, and they're just going to keep putting this one thing out over and over and over and over, and I enjoy it, but I'm also a little bit bored of it. X-Men experiments, and that's going to end when they go to
Disney. Well, just overall, I'm bored of superhero movies. Like, I didn't even see Logan in theaters. I waited till it came out on DVD. Like, I just... I'm going to go see Infinity War, but it's mostly out of obligation and less out of excitement.
I felt that way till I saw the last trailer, and there were so many shout-outs to the original comic, where now I'm hopeful they'll end on a snap. They'll end on actually killing half the universe. Yeah. So
I want to leave that and I'm actually for anybody who didn't know about the snap.
And I'm actually, it's funny, I'm doing a class right now where I'm teaching graphic novels about war. So we had a unit about war, we had a unit on genocide, we had a unit on refugees, and then we're closing with a one on U.S. politics, right? So it's just stuff happening within inside the borders. So one is about the civil rights movement, but the last one is actually civil war, because the original comic has such 9/11 overtones that it's a fun way to teach 9/11, right? And this is going to blow your mind. Most of my students don't know 9/11. They weren't around.
Yeah, now that doesn't
blow my mind. How crazy that was.
They were too small.
Most of my students were too small. We're too small. Yeah. Occasionally you'll get like one who remembers now. Yeah. But next year, this is the last year even when anyone has even has a faint recollection. And that's crazy to me. Yeah. So Civil War is actually a fun way to teach post 9/11 U.S. politics, right? Patriot Act stuff, right? It's a fun way to do it. So Infinity War comes out while I'm teaching that comic. So I got approved to take the students to see the movie. So I'm excited for that too.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. So we're going to go on a field trip to see Infinity War, and I'm hoping that I'm hoping to cap off our semester that it's going to be just a very bloody affair. That's what I'm hoping. That would cap our per semester perfectly. To move from British imperialism in Iran and China to genocide, refugees, and then half the universe is dead. It would just be the perfect arc for the class. So I'm really hoping. But if they don't, if they cop out, I'm bored of superhero movies too, which is hard for me to say because I love superheroes. But they're too similar to each other.
That's the thing. Like, there's nothing new. Like, Logan was new. Like, Winter Soldier was new. Even the first Guardian, both Guardians, but like those were new. Like, this is something I hadn't seen. But
let's be honest about Guardians 2, though. Guardians 2 is like when a band puts out B-sides and calls it an album. Guardians 2 is leftover huge jokes from Guardians 1.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I got really annoyed. I got really annoyed at them using... Enough. Yeah, it was fine. But I got really annoyed at... was Dave Bautista's character. Drax. Drax,
yeah.
Always laughing at things. It's like they snuck in a... laugh track?
Yeah.
I just found it irritating, actually. But I did like the ending. I thought the ending was really good.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I still enjoyed Guardians 1 more. But what my bigger point is just, like, it's the movies that push it further. Like, and that's why you like X-Men, because in your opinion, they push it forward. I just don't – we're not there anymore. Doctor Strange was just like, I saw it. Me and Javi made fun of it the entire time. Entire time we made fun of that movie.
Talk about worn out narratives. I don't need any more rich white men that are too arrogant for their own good being laid low and then through that process gaining a new level of privilege and power that only authorizes a new level of arrogance. And I want to say I enjoyed that narrative for a while. I love Batman and I love Tony Stark. But Doctor Strange is just Iron Man again. He even has the same goatee.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, it's getting repetitive. Yeah. Like, as much as I thought Thor 3 was great, and actually I think it's like the hidden gem of the MCU, the secretly possibly their best movie, it's also just Guardians again.
Yeah.
It's Bruce
Let's make Guardians with Thor
it's as,
and the Hulk.
It's as Guardians of the Galaxy, right? That's all it is.
Pretty much.
Talk about tired. Ready Player One, I saw because I went to go see Pacific Rim 2, but I missed it. I got there late, so I had to see something else.
Oh, okay.
And not bad. I liked it better when it was called the Lego Movie because it's like the same story. It's exactly the same story. The same kind of villain, the same themes. It's like, it just doesn't have, it's just not as fun. Although it's kind of fun. But I'm telling you this, I am super over 80s nostalgia.
Yeah.
Bring on 90s nostalgia. I'm ready for baggy pants and salt and pepper because I am over Ghostbusters references. I'm so over it. The 80s is washed.
Yeah, it's overdone. It's actually time for some early 2000s nostalgia. We're getting there, man.
Nah, we got to skip over the 90s. We got like a good 5 years of stringy hair and flannel shirts.
90s was low key trash, man.
That's how I feel about the 2000s. The later 90s is definitely low key trash. I think once Tupac and Kurt are dead, that 90s just we should have just called it. We should have just let's sit out a couple years. We'll wait till the millennium. But definitely post Tupac and post Biggie and post Kurt, it's not there's nothing there.
It's like the post Jordan NBA. It's better if we don't talk about it.
Right. Yes. The post Jordan and the post Wilt NBA. I don't give a fuck about Walt Frazier. There's Bill Russell and then there's Magic and there's nothing in between.
Yeah.
All right, well, on that note, I think we're gonna let's wrap this up. All right, but well, I will talk to you next week and we'll go over our next list of topics.
Cool. And looks like the Rockets are kicking their ass.
Well, wait, are we playing Portland?
Yeah.
So Portland's got nothing to play for.
Yeah. Neither do we.
Yeah, and you know, they're not as good as us.
No.
All right. On that note, All right. Take it easy, Joe.
All right, man.
Bye.